The journey began. That's what I want us to look at today. The journey. The journey of life itself. When I talk about the journey began, I need you to understand this, that the journey began for us. And that journey that began for us began in a beautiful, beautiful garden created by God Himself. It was a perfect garden. And that was going to be the beginning for you and I. For the human race was that beautiful garden. And God had delivered all of what He had right there to His children that He created and molded into His image. But let me back up. That's our beginning. You see, our beginning is different from the beginning. Before there was time, God. Before existence, as we know it, God. So therefore, God is looking at this vast array of nothing. And God said, I'm going to begin time. But it's only for the realm of you and I, for His children. My children will live, you're going to live in a time zone, and that time zone happens to be God's zone. So God looks at all and He decides, I am creating, and He puts man in His special garden, and He says, you can do anything in here that you want. You have all the food, all the love, no pain, no sickness, nothing. I just want you to enjoy tending, taking care of what I have given you. But man decided that wasn't good enough. Mankind decided, no, I don't have to listen to anyone. No, I can do this on my own. We've been going that route ever since. That's called sin. That's rebellion against God's way for a life that He created. Don't you understand that you and I are as important to Almighty God as His Son Jesus is to Him? And Jesus told us that. So God said, okay, you're not going to be able to live in the garden because you'll end up eating of the tree of life and you'll live forever in your sin. I can't let that happen. I created you. I loved you. You're going to be put out. And mankind was put out of the garden. God placed angels there to make sure the human race did not re-enter. And then time began for us. Not for God. There's no such thing as time for God. Do you hear me? So therefore, God takes time for me and you. God says, I see you, I know you, I want you to understand something. I created you for a purpose. I'll give you the power in that purpose. I will encourage you. I'll walk with you. And mankind says, wait a minute. I don't like my fellow man. The two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the children of Adam and Eve. Cain decides he don't like Abel because he's jealous. Therefore, he murders Abel. And man, did time really start. And God looked down. You know what God said to Cain? Where's your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, let me stop. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You got me? I'll give you the answer. God gives it to us. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Didn't you know God said his blood, the blood of your brother, cries out to me from the dirt. I hear the cry. And God has kept his ear open for your cry and my cry since the beginning of time. And God says, okay, mankind, human race, you're wanting to do this on your own. Let me give you some guidelines. It's called the age of the prophets and the law. The prophets and Moses, let's say. So here's the rules and regulations for you to take care of yourself. Man, did man mess that up? Man. Did he ever? You've got the law, and later we're to find out you were given the law so that you would understand you can't keep it. You can't keep it. You cannot keep yourself in the perfect will of God. It's impossible. But before, get back over here to before time. God's plan went in order. You got me? God's plan was in order. God had already set that plan in motion, knowing what we would do and how we would act. You and I don't even know what we're going to do the next moment. God knows exactly what's in our path throughout the whole history of our existence, which happens to be eternal. We're going to be eternally together. I keep reminding you all of that. Might as well get over it and get used to each other and love one another. Because if you're a Christian, we're going to be together throughout eternity. That's God's story. So God gives us this storyline. And he said, fine, I'm going to allow man in all of his creation. God creates nature. God creates all that exists, all of the planets, everything that you see. But remember this. This will help you. Star Wars people can catch this a lot better than a lot of us old heads. Wait a minute, I enjoyed Star Wars too. You and I live in a different realm from God. You humanly cannot reach to God physically. For you to come in the presence of God physically means you're going to die immediately. Your human body can't handle that. And not only that, because of the sin that you and I inherited, look, we commit enough of our own, but we inherited a world of sin. And God saw that inheritance before time began. Nothing surprised God. Everything Satan did, he never surprised God with it. God knew. But God was going to give the human race an opportunity to truly live in his presence. And in order to do that, before time, Christ said, Father, I will go. And you'll read in Scripture several times where God would speak and said, let us go down. Let us go down, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us go down and see. God loves us so much. Folks, if you've ever been in combat, you listen to me. God can find you. And you'll know it's him that has overwhelmed you and covers you. Why so much hurt? Why so much pain? Why are we going through this? It's called life. In order for you and I to have the perfection of life, because we are the creation of God, we have to live life. Your life hurts. Amen? Life hurts, folks. And it can hurt to a point to where you're cringing on the inside because of that pain. It's cancer inside of me, and the pain that I get from that continually is nothing compared to the pain of life. Man, seems like you're in war all the time, doesn't it? You got to be battling something. Isn't there any peace out here? Yes! His name is Jesus. He's the one. So mankind comes. They have the law. They have the prophets. But here's what God did. God allowed His Holy Spirit to descend or ascend on the prophet, His prophet. And then the Holy Spirit would back off. The Holy Spirit would come on man for the purpose of glorifying God and helping man. So the Holy Spirit would come in. And throughout the Old Testament, you will see one day, one day, one day, when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will indwell the heart of man continually. That's the story of that first week to Easter, that Palm Sunday. Jesus said, I've got to seal this story. 6,000 years. And God said mankind is still devouring one another. I gave you the law for you to realize you can't keep it. I sent the prophets to tell you where you were going wrong, and you refused. You refused my help. And Jesus says, I'll go, Father, I'll go. But man had already committed such horrible sins against our Creator. There had to be judgment. The judgment was on the head of each human being. And then we see, because God loves us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God says, I so love. Son, be about your Father's business. So Jesus comes in a manger. In that manger, you know, not one religious leader of the day showed up. Yeah, religious leaders get really cocky. Here's what I think. I could care less what you think, religious leader. You tell me what the Bible says. And then the Lord said, the time has come when I will live in the heart of man. It'll be me. It won't be the preacher. It won't be the priest. It won't be the rabbi. It'll be me. And once I come in, that spirit belongs to me. And whosoever will, let him come. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. It's cancer can go straight to hell because this man has already got a foot in heaven. You listen to me. The story of your life is real. The story of the life of our Savior is real. That story that He's telling you with inside of you, that's a real story. You hold on to the truth of God. Jesus always told a story, but every story was always true. Because Jesus wanted us to get the point about how much He loves us. He loves me. He loves me. Despite me, my Lord loves me. Doesn't matter what man says. I said yes to Jesus. And he said, come on home. But now, Larry, before you come, you got to finish the work I've given you to do. But Lord, look at all of this mess and the multiple cancers and all this other garbage. Look at it. And I hear God laugh. You see, I know the one who put me together to begin with. Oh, I'm going to die. Don't know when. Well, I got news for you. I want to cheer you up with this. You're going to die too. Yep. I remember the old saying, 6 foot of earth makes us all the same size. I'm a Christian. I won't be there in that 6 foot of earth. I'm already gone because I cannot see death. Whoever lives and believes in him shall never see death. I got to be gone, Brother Randy, you hear me? But listen to me. The story is being told. But on your heart, for your individual life, for those of you who are watching, those of you who are listening, hear me well. There is a story in your life. Now get off the pew and get out there and allow Christ to broadcast his story through you. Smile, hug, be friendly. But a lot of my friends in the world, they're sinners. Okay, come on, you cocky, pious Christian. I got news for you. So are you. Okay? Just tell them about Jesus in a special way. You know, as prison chaplain for all of those years, when I would stop at a cell block, do you think a cell full of murderers and rapists and armed robbers and all of them are the kind that's going to listen to me talk to them with a big Bible? They'd take that away and beat me half death before I'd get out of the cell. No. You know what they wanted to hear? They wanted to hear from my heart. They wanted to hear the story from the heart of someone who could tell them how to get out of a lifestyle. Or there were those who just didn't care. Get out. Curse, I had more Playboy magazines thrown at me. I had no telling what they'd be worth today if I'd kept them. Faye wouldn't let me keep them. Had to throw them away. Just preaching the word. And all of that time, 28 solid years locked up in prison systems to preach the word, training me to come to Vine Grove Baptist Church and the pastor. I'm telling you, God's got a plan. You see, it's the same story. The same story. So man goes against God's law like God said that he would. And then the time comes. This season is part of that time. But the time came for Jesus to be born human. God had to feel the human experience in order to forgive and to feel our pain. God lived the human experience. You're not alone. He lived it. Put the scripture up for me so I won't have to go back. God lived that human experience. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. So that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Yep. He thinks he can kill me. That ain't happening. I've turned myself, my heart, and all years ago over to my Savior. Now, I'm dying, and I'm going to die. You hear me? But I'm doing it on God's timetable. I didn't like Satan's. He wanted it done sooner. Ain't happening. Therefore, in God's time for us, that he set for us, he sent his only begotten Son. And when he sent his only begotten Son, his Son was here for a purpose. You and I, all of humanity, all that would ever be born, that's why Jesus came. And for those 30 some odd years, he studied. He lived among people. He saw pain. He saw misery. Then the time for his ministry came. All the religious leaders couldn't handle that. This man, Jesus, well, here he comes, and he's going out ministering. And do you know the great sin they said he committed? He was not quoting what another rabbi had said. While this man speaks as he has authority, we've never heard a man speak such, because everybody else quoted what they learned from the book. Jesus was the book. Jesus is the book. Jesus is the cover that you're wrapped in. That's your story. I'm protected. Do I get cocky over that protection? Yeah, sometimes I do. I'm a Christian, people, and I'm proud to be a Christian. And I'm proud to stand for Jesus Christ. And I refuse to bend to the power of a world. You're saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I'm quoting scripture. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. That's what Jesus says. And if you're so powerful, how come I don't remember your name? I know Jesus, but Jesus knows me. He knows my name. I'm on the Christmas list every year. Jesus knows my name. And you know the problems of my life? He knows they're there. So I praise God for the pain. Brother Randy had trouble with me on this one. And I put my foot up on the tractor and I said, if it glorifies God, bring on the pain. Brother Randy took off a running. Because he loves his pastor and he knew I was going to be hurting. But that's a fact. And do you know what? I know beyond any doubt that anyone could have. I'm in the loving arms of Almighty God. I will preach his word. I am preaching his word. I will tell his truth till he calls me home. I will watch his miracles. You know what I mean about miracles? That's what Jesus was doing all time during his ministry. Oh, he was so horrible. Well, he was healing the sick, making the lame to walk. The blind were seeing. Demons were cast out. And then he had the audacity. Oh, he even raised the dead. After these religious leaders told everybody it wasn't going to happen. That can't happen. So Jesus raises the dead. Now that messes their mind up. But did it mess it up enough for them to fall on their knees and say, you are my Lord, praise God? No. You know what the scripture says? Because of that great love for us, they set out to kill Jesus. Because people were listening to the truth of God rather than their so-called truth. They walk around all cocky looking. Walk around like, you know, you'll bow to me and kiss my ring. Don't ever do that. Your Savior is in your heart. You know him personally. And when you do know him personally, you got this thing called life. Because Jesus lived it for me. Do you think that I don't understand that the pain he suffered when he did his ministry And they here they are getting ready to put him on that cross. Jesus, what does he do? Does he run? No! He's walking right into the very city that's getting ready to kill him. Oh, and there are so many people there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Not everyone who says, Lordy, Lordy, will ever see heaven. You hear me? Not everyone who says, Lordy, Lordy, will enter heaven's gates. Only those who have that personal relationship. Do you know Jesus? A personal relationship. What do you mean, Larry? I mean, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? He is exactly who he claims to be. I believe, therefore, I am made righteous. Not how I dress, not what I do, not what I own. I believe, therefore, I am made righteous, and so are you. Jesus felt our pain of life. He felt it. Not just his. When I talk about this kind of pain that I'm having, oh yeah, nothing. Jesus took on the pain of everyone that's ever existed. Every pain of anybody that's in the past that's ever existed, every pain that's going on today with everyone, and all the pains in the future, Jesus went to that cross with that pain. And as he was on the cross taking on my pain, he was on the cross taking on my shame. He looked beyond my faults, and he saw my need. He looked far beyond what man would say, and he saw his creation. The one, me, you, before time existed, you were in the mind of God. You're getting pretty old now, aren't you? In the mind of God. When Jesus came, he showed us the heart of Almighty God. The heart of God came down. And when the heart of God came down, love went up and went out. And he said, my word will not be stopped. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I feel your pain. A lot of times when people say that to us, we have trouble with it. When I get that word from God, I don't have any trouble with it at all. He says, I feel your pain, Larry. I live the human existence. Listen to Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Now go to Jesus, felt our pain of life, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knows my weaknesses. And a lot of it even reaches beyond peanut butter fudge. But he knows my weaknesses. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. So here this man who's done nothing but good comes on that Palm Sunday morning, and he looks at a city, that a city that is full of sin, a city that is full of bitterness and hatred and all manner of evil in the heart of man. And Jesus looks, and he looks to the city. Luke 19:41-42. Listen well. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, they said they wanted the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Jesus said, I have come for the new covenant has arrived. I have come to fulfill the old, not to do away with it, but to fulfill the old. I'm going to complete what we started. Nothing started without Jesus. Therefore, that's why there's no ending for us. Every human being that's ever been born will live eternal. You hear me now? Listen well. You will live eternal. And it's your choice as to where you spend eternity. There's two places, heaven or hell, the Bible says. One you'll go and there you'll dwell. The sad part about the non-believer is you can never die. Our physical body will die. Our physical body is going to go back to the dust. But at the resurrection, Christians will be resurrected with a glorified body, meaning you'll be like Jesus. For those of you who are really get excited about that, yep, you walk through doors, you do all that bit, just like Jesus did. Because you see, there's no such thing as time or matter to you. Those things don't matter anymore. Because you are in the realm of God your Father. You are spirit, and you have been given a new glorified body made in the image, oh my goodness, can you believe it? In the image of God, just like he said. What God decides will happen. And he says, I promised you this time. I promised you this great love. I promised you victory, didn't I? And he comes to the city. And he looks at him and he said, if you'd only listen, especially in this your day, you're seeing God incarnate, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son has arrived. But he said, I would have gathered you like little chickens under my wing, but you would not come. Oh, what great sin Jesus, they thought, was committing. He wasn't speaking like they wanted to hear. Well, that's horrible. A lot of them must have been Baptist. He wasn't saying it the way they wanted to hear it said. Well, Jesus wasn't dressed properly. He didn't act properly. He didn't look that good. But the Savior had come in power. But they saw no power. Here's your story. Remember the story of how he's coming in and how they're looking at him and all the olive leaves and all of this. Everything's placed right in front of him. You getting this? The palm branches are there. The very crowd that was crying out, Hosanna. Do I have that scripture? Yes. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even your, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Here's your key. It's in believing, not in your doing. If you believe, you'll truly do what you can, what God has called you to do. Are you hearing me? The key is in your believing. Do you believe? Yes, I believe. Therefore, Brother Randy, I'm saved. I believe. They praised him as Lord. That they did. But condemned him as a criminal. Yeah. These very people that are saying, Hosanna, Lord, come. As he walks in, are the very people that later that week were going to cry out, crucify him. Boy, that didn't last long, did it? As long as this man Jesus halfway does what we think he should, we'll praise him. But now if he goes out on his own, why? What if he goes out and he don't dress like we think he should? Not only that, did you know the other day, there was Jesus right out there, right in the middle of a bunch of sinners. There he was. They didn't know it was Baptist. They didn't know who he's with. But they said, he's in with sinners. Not only that, he's eating with them. Woo! You know why? I was at the table. You were at the table. And he said, I want you to know that whosoever will come, let him come. That's what that walk into Jerusalem was about. Jesus, they said, is coming. And I said to you, he has already come in great glory. That's in your heart. You'll find peace that surpasses all understanding. Tell Jesus on a situation. You're tired of dealing with it? Tell God. Well, I'm going to tell him, but I think I might tell him also how to do it. No. If I were you, I'd suggest you leave that alone. Lord, I can't handle anymore. Whatever it takes. If you could hear the voice, my child, I've always offered it to you. All you had to do was ask, and you shall receive. So Jesus marches in. But by this Friday, they're ready to put him on that cross. But this Friday, it's only Friday. Sunday's a coming. Amen. Sunday's a coming. Amen. The tomb was empty, waiting for the Savior of mankind. You know, there's something you'll learn next week. I'll give you a little tidbit. The stone was not rolled away for Jesus to come out. Jesus was already out of the tomb. Jesus walked through doors and rock and anything he wanted to. Jesus was glorified. The stone was rolled away by the angel for us to see in. The proof he is risen. That day's coming. Be here Friday. Be here Sunday to hear the rest of the story, because it's an awesome story. A story about your life right here on planet Earth and your promise of a better day to come. And folks, it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, We praise your holy name, giving you thanks, dear Lord God, for life, for your love, for your truth. Strengthen each of us now, dear Heavenly Father, as we lift one another up to you. Help us, Father, as we stand strong in your story for our life. Help our life to make a difference in others. Give us the power, dear Lord God, as long as we're here, to boldly proclaim your truth above all else. I ask your blessing upon that, Father. I ask your special blessing and anointing upon each member of this congregation, upon each listener, Father. I pray that you will watch over them this week, that you will guide them, that you will touch their life, and Father, that you will intervene in all situations. For Father, we are your children. You've asked us to bring it to you. We're bringing it to you, Lord. Now touch our life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.